Yo, Dodger fans. Today's Locked On Dodgers will consist of us talking about Craig Kimbrell, who the Dodgers acquired on Friday in exchange for AJ Pollock. We'll talk about what it means personally, or, you know, as a fan, what it means for the offense and what it means for the bullpen. That's what's on tap. So make sure to check out Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers. Your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Remember, we're free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Make sure to subscribe in all those places and never miss a day, because you know we're not going to. This is an extra special bonus emergency episode. The Dodgers acquired Craig Kimbrell on Friday morning, and we're here to talk about it. If this is your first time listening or watching, I'm Ben Samperio of Chavez Ring Fiends. That's my partner, my co-host, Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. We're lifelong Dodger fans just like you, but we've also spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and locker room. We're not quite insiders, but we will still bring you the smart fans perspective on your boys in blue every weekday morning. And whenever you're listening to this one, since it might be a weekday afternoon or maybe even Saturday morning, depending when you get to it. But we are live right now on YouTube and all over. And if you're listening to it now, hello. If you're listening to it after, also hello, but not in real time. But yeah, Jeff, you woke up to some news. I was already awake. The Dodgers acquired Craig Kimbrell from the White Sox in exchange for AJ Pollock. Straight swap. One that, you know, a lot of people are talking about how it's a little bit of a deal from surplus for the Dodgers, a little bit of deal from surplus from the White Sox. It seems to make sense on paper. And we'll talk about all that, why it makes sense on paper. But first, just initial thoughts. And, you know, AJ Pollock, who when he first signed here, we had to talk ourselves into. And now that he's being traded for Craig Kimbrell, which he would have told us that a few years ago, we would have been ecstatic. Now it's a little bit bittersweet.
It is bittersweet. And, as a person, everybody loves AJ Pollock. You know, I think the stuff that he went through during the pandemic with his daughter being born and all of that kind of endeared him to a lot of fans too. And the fact that the last 2 years he's been, you know, one of the Dodgers' best hitters, and it's everybody loves AJ Pollock, including his teammates. And so I imagine this is a hard day for a lot of people. And it's one of the reasons that we always have to remind ourselves baseball is a business. And, you know, because you don't trade AJ Pollock unless it makes sense for the team. And, you know, as we're going to talk about, I think it does make sense for the team, but it's still, it's one of those things that it's an emotional time that, you know, we've seen it in the past, and we really are rooting for laundry. As Jerry Seinfeld said, you know, we're Dodger fans. So it's crazy that we all became Craig Kimbrell fans today, you know? And, but, you know, I think a lot of us are going to remain AJ Pollock fans because he contributed a lot to the Dodgers and is just a very likable guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when it came down to, like I said, when we first got him, we had to talk ourselves into him. It was a cheap deal, realistically, you know, based on everything else. So it wasn't going to end the Dodgers, and you know, at all at that time. He had a decent first season, very bad in the playoffs, had a pretty good 2020, not so great in the playoffs once again. Had a really good 2021 and was actually pretty good in the playoffs this time around. So, you know, he continued to gradually grow on us. Not that we ever didn't like him, but, you know, we were kind of meh, and it went from meh to, oh man, like, you know, he's a pretty important part. But at the end of the day, you know, the Dodgers were dealing from a little bit of a surplus. Obviously, that's counting on some other guys stepping up. I mean, realistically, Chris Taylor could be slotted into the everyday left field role and the Dodgers would have an all-star in left field realistically. But obviously it's not going to be as easy as that. And we'll get into that, but just, you know, like I said, AJ Pollock, nice guy. And honestly, from, you know, I think he really turned it around in terms of how fans liked him too, not just us and everyone else, but, you know, I saw a lot of mixed emotions on social media. I saw a lot of angry emotions on social media. You know, some of them were kind of, why didn't they just sign Jansen and keep Pollock? And, you know, kind of would have been a wash. But it's ironic because the guy they would have kind of had to trade in order to get Jansen on board with what they said, in terms of like trying not to go over the last luxury tax if they don't have to, was AJ Pollock. Now AJ Pollock gets traded, and you know, it's for essentially Kenley Jansen's replacement.
Yeah. And you know, I get what people are saying, but you know, A, it seems like Kenley maybe really wanted to play for the Braves. So it's not like if the Dodgers had just offered the same money the Braves did, they could have had him. I don't know if that's the case. But also at their peaks, Craig Kimbrell's a better closer than Kenley Jansen. Kenley is very, very good when he's good. But I'd probably, if I had to put money on which one of them is going to be a better closer in 2022, I'd go with Kimbrell probably. And, you know, not by a significant margin, but, you know, and then when you also factor in the money side of things, which the Dodgers said it wasn't a big factor, and I believe them, but it does make sense. But really, I think what this comes down to is after they signed Freddie Freeman, they had, you know, too many players basically. And there were at least a surplus that they could deal for a position of need. And AJ Pollock is 34 years old. He is coming off the two best seasons of his career. It's kind of the definition of selling high, which is what you want to do as a general manager. And, you know, there's a little bit of a buying low element to the Kimbrell thing too, because he was pretty bad after he got traded to the White Sox. And, you know, we'll talk more about why that might've been and stuff in a little bit, but you know, it's other than the personal side of things, this really, really makes a lot of sense to me, you know, and as you mentioned, throw me under the bus. I was still asleep. To be fair, I was asleep again. I got up early and then I was taking a nap, and I woke up to a text from Vince saying, did you see the trade? And I said, nope. What was it? And, but as soon as you told me the trade, I'm like, well, that makes sense, you know, and, the Dodgers do have guys who the fact is with Lux or Taylor in left field, it's probably a better defensive outfield. And, it doesn't hurt the offense really, you know, because you can only have nine guys in the lineup on any given day. And so Dodgers are going to be fine, and it makes them a better team. So, despite me loving AJ Pollock and I'll miss him, but I'm happy about the move.
Yeah. Overall, like I said, on paper, it's a move that you'll take probably 10 out of 10 times, maybe 9 out of 10 times, depending on how you feel. But when it comes down to, you know, real life, you know, you feel a little bit about Pollock. And then Kimbrell, I don't really have a strong opinion on him as a like person. He doesn't seem like he's a bad guy, but I've never seen anything that's like, oh my God, he's the greatest guy ever. So maybe he's just kind of one of those guys. But he's played with Freddie before, obviously, back in the day with the Braves. He's played with Price and Mookie on the Red Sox. And I would imagine they have good things to say about him. And he was happy to come over. You know, he literally just had to walk over from the other side as he was with the White Sox and they share with the Dodgers spring training. But he seemed happy about it and, you know, said that it wasn't a big deal that he wasn't a closer with the White Sox, but was happy to be back in a role where he's used to and comfortable. What he said, to put shoes on, he's worn before or something like that. So you're getting a guy who's very happy about the role you're going to put him in. That's also another bonus for sure. Obviously, it doesn't necessarily factor into how good he's going to be, but it's going to factor into how excited he is. And you know, it could factor in a little bit into how good he's going to be.
Yeah. And that's kind of, for me, it might really, really factor into how good he is, because last year with the Cubs, he was outstanding, like the best he has ever been for that first half of the season with the Cubs. We saw it in person when he closed out the Cubs combined no hitter against the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. He was elite peak Craig Kimbrell. Then he got traded to the White Sox and spent most of his time as a setup man and was not very good. He led 13 earned runs in 23 innings with the White Sox. Only one of those runs came in a ninth inning save situation in the role that Craig Kimbrell is used to pitching in. And, you know, I've been a big vocal proponent of not having those rigidly defined bullpen roles and you know, play matchups and stuff. But that's when you have guys who are ready for that role, you know. And before the Dodgers got Kimbrell, I was a big fan of the Dodgers doing that in 2022, because you don't have anybody who is so entrenched in the closer role. And so you can play those matchups, but when, you know, we said it last year when Kenley Jansen was struggling, and the year before even, you know, when people would talk about, well, he needs to be taken out of the closer role. Well, if he's not the closer, he doesn't really even have a role on the team. Kenley Jansen is a closer. Craig Kimbrell is a closer, and they both perform best when they're in that role for whatever reason. And, you know, we can talk about what that reason might be, but it doesn't really matter, because the fact is, if Craig Kimbrell is a lot better as a closer, then him coming over to the Dodgers to be a closer means there's a good chance he's going to be a lot better than he was as a setup man with the White Sox.
Yeah, exactly. So transitioning, before we get into the bullpen and how to fix it, just want to thank you and remind you guys to make Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. You can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube by searching Locked On Dodgers. Obviously, if you're watching this live, you already know how to find us. But if you haven't already subscribed, go ahead and hit subscribe right now. And yeah, so the Dodgers bullpen obviously gets changed than what we thought. I don't know if it was in reaction to Daniel Hudson having a kind of up and down spring. It's definitely part of wanting to keep Blake Treinen in a role where he can come in whenever they need him from this pretty much fifth, sixth inning on, in terms of a big situation that could swing the game. It's a matter of maybe, you know, they didn't need Craig Kimbrell, but Craig Kimbrell fits. And you know, that kind of maybe sounds a little bit weird, but yeah, they didn't need him. Their bullpen was going to be fine without him. But now that you do have a guy that for sure is going to be throwing the ninth, then everyone else can kind of settle in and kind of find their role instead of, you know, the bullpen by committee is, would work over the course of a season realistically. But I do think these guys are still in that notion of a little bit of a defined role, whatever that is. You know, whether it's a defined role as I'm going to pitch sometime between the fifth and the eighth, or whether it's a defined role as I'm only going to pitch the seventh or eighth, whatever it is. But I do think it adds to that, and it kind of settles everyone else in, and it doesn't put a reliance on Daniel Hudson to be good in case he's not good.
Yeah. And you know, the Dodgers didn't need Freddie Freeman either, but Freddie Freeman makes any team better. Like we said, when they signed him and Kimbrell, you know, even if the Dodgers didn't need him, Kimbrell makes a bullpen better, especially if it's a bullpen that does have an open closer role. And, you know, the fact is the Dodgers plan on winning a lot of games. Hopefully they'll win a bunch of them by a big enough margin that they, you know, hopefully there'll be enough save opportunities for Kimbrell that, you know, the Dodgers aren't winning too many, you know, 8-run blowouts. But, you know, the fact is it's good to have guys like Blake Treinen and Daniel Hudson and Tommy Kahlen when the time comes, guys who have experience closing out games. But having a guy in that ninth inning role is, it's a comforting feeling, and it really does. It shortens that game, because before, the Dodgers bullpen that is going to be good was going to need to get 3 or 4 innings each game. And now they need to get 2 or 3 innings each game from everybody other than Craig Kimbrell. And so, and when you think about this, is, you know, Kimbrell is basically replacing, you know, Mitch White or whoever was going to be the last guy in the Dodgers bullpen. Everybody else just, you know, moves down a slot. And that's a good way of building a team. And like I said, Kimbrell would make any bullpen better.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the big part of it. Also, the big part of it is on the Kimbrell side where, you know, like you were about to get into, and you got into a little bit of him being comfortable in that role. And him and, you know, Brandon Gomes, the Dodgers GM, he confirmed that Kimbrell is going to slide into the closer role. And like I said, it's just a lot easier to only have to kind of get through 8 innings. You know, realistically, Kimbrell might blow a few saves or, you know, might struggle at times, but realistically, you know, you have to get through 8 innings. And once you get into the ninth, it's covered. So it pushes everyone back a spot. You know, guys, like you said, Mitch White, Evan Phillips, guys like that, that were maybe going to be one of the final guys on, you know, on that roster, they get pushed back. You got a guy like Phil Bickford who, you know, once he's healthy is kind of that last guy now, or, you know, and it also helps you a little bit in terms of, okay, if Alex Vesia, you know, struggled in his second year, which is possibly saw the same thing with Victor Gonzalez struggle in the second year, that's part of it. You get, you know, Bruce Dark Gratterall, who seemingly has turned the corner last year at some point, and it should be back in full-time bullpen role too. You're, you know, you just, clean out your margins a little bit, margins for error. And that's what we've talked about before, like I said, with Freddie Freeman, with when the Dodgers add talent, it's going to be premium talent for the most part. This year, they actually did focus on the margins a little bit in terms of position players, you know, adding Hanser Alberto and then having Jake Lamb and Kevin Pillar in camp and things like that. Because last year, that's where they lost on the margins a little bit, where some of these guys didn't work out. They haven't necessarily had to do it in the bullpen in the past. You know, they've kind of had guys just work out, but you know, that trade last year, Floro for Vesia, that's working on the margins. You know, this trade right now, Kimbrough for Pollock, that's helping out the margins via getting premium talent. So it's just, you know, people can say, oh, the Dodgers or whatever, blah, 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 all this other stuff. The Dodgers are trying to win. And if you want us to be upset or unhappy about the Dodgers trying to win, then, you know, that's a little bit more on however you feel or how your team is not trying to win, whether, you know, we're happy on this side.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, last night I was recording with the host of the other four Locked On teams in the NL West, our little season preview. It's going to be, I think, Tuesday's episode. You'll see that. And we were talking about, you know, obviously they all had thoughts about the Dodgers spending money. And I told them, you know, if I wasn't lucky enough to be born into a Dodger family, I'd probably hate the Dodgers too. But you know, it really does. Javi from Locked On Padres actually stuck up for the Dodgers a little bit and said, really the problem is the teams that aren't willing to do what it takes to win. You know, the reason that the Dodgers were able to sign Freddie Freeman is because nobody else stepped up and offered him money, you know, and if more teams were stepping up, then that would be fewer players available for the Dodgers. And, you know, the Dodgers are committed to winning, and even the money side of things here, you know, the Dodgers almost never make decisions based on money. They factor money in. And if the opportunity comes to shed payroll, you know, like we were talking about last week, if David Price doesn't work out and they have an opportunity to dump him and save some of that money, they might look into it, but it won't be if David Price is contributing to the team, he's going to be on the team, you know, regardless of how much he's getting paid. And that's a good feeling as a fan to be a fan of a team that is committed to winning above all else and also smart with the money and able to figure out ways to save money when they need to, but they don't let it affect what's happening on the field. And so adding Kimbrel is huge. It's something that, you know, we've thought might happen a couple times in the past couple of years. You know, he was a free agent a couple of years ago and didn't sign till midseason. And a lot of people were saying then that they should bring him in to be Jansen's setup man. And my point then was Craig Kimbrel won't sign with a team to be a setup man because Craig Kimbrel has his eyes on going into the Hall of Fame as a closer. And the way to do that is to have a crap load of saves. And Craig Kimbrel coming to a Dodgers team that is expected to win 100 plus games is a really good opportunity. Of course, he said he couldn't be happier because he now has the opportunity to save a crap load of games. You know, he'll probably go over 400 career saves this year, which is a big number. And, it's good for him and it's good for the Dodgers.
Yeah, exactly. Aaron Vaughn, we see your thing. Why are people emotionally invested in Pollock? Yeah, we all remember when he was bad in the playoffs. We talked about it a little bit in the first segment. But, you know, he really turned it around, was really good last year. One of the reasons, you know, if they would have won the division last year, AJ Pollock would have been one of the reasons. And then he did come through in the postseason last year compared to other years. So, it's all about what you did for me lately.
And last year he really did step up. You know, it was kind of funny. It was in July, you and I did early July. We did an episode where we said it's time for Pollock to be a platoon player. And he started that week with 7 straight strikeouts and he still won player of the week that week. He was so good from that point on and whatever it was. Yeah. You know, so I'm not surprised at all at the love for AJ Pollock, both on the field and off the field. Off the field, there's nothing not to like about the guy. And on the field, the pros have definitely outweighed the cons.
Yeah. And we're seeing your questions about starting pitching. And I think this is one of the ways they're addressing it is by, and you know, getting that bullpen stronger. Jeff Passan put out the tweet earlier and, you know, Kimbrel, Trinan, Hudson, Gradraw, Vesia, Brule, Gonzalez, Tyler Anderson, David Price, with Dustin May, Danny Duffy, Tommy Kahle, and Phil Bickford back at some point. He left Caleb Ferguson off that list. The depth is crazy in that bullpen and you know, or guys that can start realistically, some of those guys that might be starters or not. And I think, yeah, they're probably going to still be looking for starting pitching realistically. And at the deadline, I wouldn't be surprised or close to the deadline. I wouldn't be surprised if they go after a starting pitcher. But now, you know, they, like I said, they shorten the game. You know, they just need starters to get through five decent innings, and then they can hand it over to the bullpen. And it's a matter of, I think, in the long term, we know this, regular season, they just got to get through the regular season, not burning anybody out, kind of what they did last year, and they'll get away with it. And when you get to the postseason, realistically, you only need 2 to 3 legit starting pitchers. We've seen a lot of teams win with only one legit starting pitcher in recent years. And we've seen teams that win a lot of good starting pitching before. Just, you know, it depends how your team is built. When the Nationals won it all, they had Scherzer, Strasburg, and a bunch of everybody else. Is that, you know, one of those being Daniel Hudson, who ended up stepping up and being good in the postseason, but he hadn't been good to that point, like that good. So it's a matter of, there's different ways to win. Starting pitching is one of those ways, but if you're not going to have, you know, elite starting pitchers, having a really strong bullpen and a really good offense is a way to, you know, kind of separate that.
And the price on starting pitching is likely to go up now with the news that Jacob deGrom is going to miss the first, or, you know, at least the first month of the season. All we know is significant time. And with the Mets, all the Mets have invested into this team. Seems likely that they might be hitting up the A's right now, or the Reds, some of the same teams that the Dodgers might have been interested in talking to about starting pitching. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they ride this out till closer to the trade deadline, see where everything's shaking out, you know, and address things there, because, you know, they might get there and realize that they're just fine with the rotation how it is. Definitely don't need to be too reactionary right now, I guess.
Yeah. All right, let's shift focus now again one more time and get into the offense, what it means for the offense. AJ Pollock was probably going to be the opening day left fielder and everyday left fielder. He will not be there now, and the Dodgers, you know, they don't have to panic. They can, like I said, one way is, hey, let's put 2021 All-Star Chris Taylor out in left field. One of the ways that it seems like they're going to do it is, hey, Gavin Lux, you're going to get more reps out there in left field. And again, give your bat a chance to work its way into, you know, what you've kind of been primed to become as a top prospect the last few years. And I really think, you know, I don't think this is a type of like Gavin Lux last chance type of thing, but I do think it's something in his favor saying, hey, we believe in you. We were going to give you these extra, you know, at-bats that you weren't going to get originally. And, you know, show us what you can do. If not, they have enough, like I said, to get by and to still make it work and kind of push him back to a smaller role. But I think it's a sign of and a vote of confidence in Gavin Lux's favor and in the favor of kind of everyone else that they put around him now. Like I said, they couldn't do this last year, because then you would have had Steven Souza, your everyday left fielder at some point. Nowadays, now if they do this, you know, somebody gets hurt, they got Jake Lamb. If somebody gets hurt, they got Kevin Pillar, who not great, but they can be better than what Steven Souza and Billy McKinney were last year and other guys that they called up. So I think overall, yeah, the offense maybe got slightly downgraded in terms of right now, but it also could get upgraded if Gavin Lux turns out what he is, or if they just end up using Chris Taylor a little bit more, or, you know, moving other people around.
Yeah, I mean, basically their starting nine now is pretty obvious. They did have 10 guys for the 9 starting spots, and now, you know, you've got where they're playing is still up in the air. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of Muncy at DH, at least early in the season. You know, that for me, the most interesting part of this is, who do they run out as their main left fielder? You know, do they commit to turning Gavin Lux into an outfielder and have him out there? Or do they go with Chris Taylor, who is more, you know, Taylor is more comfortable in left field. Lux is more comfortable at second base. You just go with that route, but that gives you a little bit less flexibility, especially since Max Muncy does need to play the field sometimes. And, you know, second base will be a lot of where he's playing. And so, you know, my guess would be that they continue to use Taylor as the utility guy, bouncing him around. And they start with Gavin Lux as the main left fielder, which is tricky, but I think he'll be good out there. I think Gavin Lux was pretty good last year. In his run in the outfield, a lot of people remember, you know, there was the one collision and there was the one dropped ball. But other than that, you know, he showed a lot of range and he showed some decent instincts for the position. And he's, you know, maybe the most athletic guy on the team. So I like the chances of Lux turning into a good outfielder if they leave him out there. And, you know, just getting everyday playing time, I still believe, I'm still on the Gavin Lux train. I think he's going to hit. I think he's going to be very good. And, you know, maybe the other intriguing part of this is that this lets them, it opens up or answers some of those questions. If they, we were trying to figure out who was going to be those bench spots. And if they only go with 15 pitchers, which I still believe they've talked about going with 16, but I really don't think they're going to do it. Well, now that means basically your bench, everybody except Kevin Pillar gets to make the team. You know, you've got room for Hanser Alberto and Edwin Rios and Jake Lamb. And, you know, Kevin Pillar working in the minors. And that seems to make sense to me, other than having to make a 40-man roster move for Jake Lamb. But other than that, it's it answers some of those questions in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it really kind of, like I said, vote of confidence in Lex, maybe vote of confidence in those other guys, like I mentioned as well. And then when it comes down to it, you know, Lux was thrown into the fire last year, how to learn center field, which is, you know, the most expensive way to learn. And when you think of him in left field, you think a little bit of, you know, you might be putting, what is it, like caging a fast animal, I don't know, kind of like a jaguar or whatever the terminology is. But that's kind of what it feels like. But realistically, he's not going to play it over Bellinger, even though Bellinger has played the corners before. You know, in left field, we've seen, I mean, us as Dodger fans, we've seen worse left fielders. We've seen Carl Crawford and Manny Ramirez play left field. There's other teams that have employed people that play outfield that aren't that good at outfield, and they've been able to handle it fine. For Gavin Lux, I'm not worried about it because he's unlike some of those other guys that aren't good outfielders but were able to make it. Gavin Lux is an athlete, and, you know, guys like Nick Castellanos and even Kyle Schwarber, not that they're not athletes, but they're not, you know, nimble and quick and everything, you know, everything you would want for an outfielder. Those guys just necessarily aren't it. They're more hitters, where these guys are, or Gavin Lux is an athlete, and he'll be able to figure it out. I'm not worried about the defense really out there at all, and it's just a matter of coming down to the hitting. And like I said, it's very possible he can be a guy that we've seen him in spurts be that guy that they thought they had when, you know, he was coming up through the system and became the number one prospect and everything else. And, you know, he's had a little bit, it's been a weird, you know, he came in late in 2019, took a starting role, started in the playoffs, did all right. You know, nobody really hit that year anyway. So like he didn't get singled out. The other years he got chances and for some reason either didn't work out, he didn't hit, or they, you know, were forced to, you know, kind of shift their thinking and how everything went, and a couple injuries here and there. So, you know, now it's kind of like what they did with Kike at second base those few years. They gave Kike a few chances and never quite worked out, and he thrived in the other role. This is a little bit different in terms of Kike, you know, Lux was the top prospect. Kike was the guy that got in a trade. But similar to that, where, hey, you know what, we're going to keep giving you the chances until we're kind of forced to say, okay, maybe it's not going to work out.
Yeah, and, you know, he's never really gotten that everyday role yet, and this gives him that opportunity of saying, you know, you're going to be in the lineup 5 or 6 times a week and go out there and see what you can do. You know, it'll be interesting to see how he does against lefties. You know, they gave Jock Peterson a year and a half of to prove that he couldn't hit lefties before they finally started platooning him. And Lux, I'd like to see him get, you know, significant playing time against both sides and see what he could do, because I think he's going to be good. And ultimately, you know, the opening up a spot for Gavin Lux to get to play every day, even if, you know, I guess I wouldn't go so far as to say even if they didn't get a good player back for Pollock, it would be a win in my book. But the fact that, you know, if you can get past missing AJ Pollock, being sad about AJ Pollock, they got Craig Kimbrell, one of the best closers in baseball, and they opened up a spot for Gavin Lux to play every day. That's a win-win for me.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, that's, like I said, on paper, this trade works out, and it crosses, it checks off all the boxes that you want out of a trade, other than, like, really winning the trade. You know, the White Sox needed an outfielder, so they feel like they're maybe winning the trade because Kimbrel wasn't good in the role they had him in. Realistically, he was going to be in that same role again. But, yeah, it's very contingent on things working out. But the Dodgers, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, if, you know, even if Lux doesn't work out, they can have Taylor there realistically. You know, this Bellinger, now, you know, now you're playing a little bit of fire because, you know, Bellinger, but also it opens up to where if Bellinger does struggle, they can throw Lux out there in center field as well and, you know, move in some other guys into left field. So there's a lot of movement that can happen. And I think this just freed it up a little because, like I said, they were probably one everyday type position player over that hump. And now they are at normal, and everyone else kind of knows their roles now.
Yeah. And one last thought I have is I've seen a couple people mention Kevin Pillar as, you know, maybe that's why they signed Kevin Pillar, because they're moving AJ Pollock or whatever. I just want to go on record as saying I think this improves Pillar's chances of making the opening day roster from 1.2% to 1.3%. But Pillar is a project. He has acknowledged that he's a project. His goal in signing with the Dodgers was to become a good player again, basically. And that hasn't happened yet. And that's not going to happen sitting on the bench in the big leagues. And he's definitely not going to be the Dodgers starting left fielder. And so Kevin Pillar is going to be playing in AAA and trying to rediscover some magic and go from there. But yeah, that's my Kevin Pillar thoughts.
Yeah. I don't doubt Kevin Pillar will be the Dodgers starting left fielder at one point this season, but he won't be the Dodgers starting left fielder unless a lot of things go wrong.
Yeah. I'm just looking at some of the comments. Doom Sal says, I don't think we need a closer. No, we don't, because we just got Craig Kimbrell. How many closers does one team need? Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's a weird trade. Basically, you know, it's one of those things where personally, we probably all like AJ Pollock more than we like Craig Kimbrell. Kimbrell, like you said, isn't like a bad personality, but he's kind of got that edge to him. And maybe it's the kind of edge that you like when it's on your team. It probably will be. I think probably most of us didn't care much for Joe Kelly before he came to the Dodgers. And so Kimbrell may really, really endear himself to Dodger fans, but probably never as much as AJ Pollock did. But, you know, that's why it's important to remember that we are rooting for a team, not an individual player. And almost without exception, pretty much anybody who gets traded and it makes the Dodgers a better team, I'm in favor of the trade. You know, I was sad when the Dodgers traded D. Gordon and Matt Kemp in the space of a couple of days back in, when was that, the end of 2014. And, you know, but I also recognized that both trades made the Dodgers better teams. And the Dodgers did get better from there. And some of that was because they got Kike and they got Austin Barnes and they got Yasmani Grandal and all those guys they got in those two trades. You know, so any trade that makes the Dodgers better, I'm in favor of, as long as it doesn't involve Clayton Kershaw. And other than that, you know, the go Dodgers and keep getting better.
Yeah. Well, that's what the Dodgers have done and keep doing, and I'm sure we'll continue to do. That's going to wrap it up for us. That's going to do it for today's special emergency bonus episode. If you're watching live, we appreciate you. Thank you for checking us out. If you're just hopping in or hopped in late, this episode will be up on YouTube in a little bit. So make sure to check it out if you want to see what we said at the beginning. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Follow Jeff on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm Evan Samperio. Check us out or send us an email if you have something to say, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. Or send us a voicemail or send us a text, leave us a voicemail at 323-863-5625. We appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for listening and have a good one.